it is, the show that everybody's been raving about, ProCalc University, with your host, Tom Platania.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the ProCalc University podcast, episode number 6. How do you know that your HVAC company installed your system correctly? Just because they flipped the switch on and it seems to heat or cool properly? There's a lot that goes into it. Now, in the heating side, unless you're looking at geothermal or radiant flooring or something like that, there's not a lot to the heating side. Especially if you have an electric heat strip. You plug the electric heat strip in, you flip the switch on, boom, it heats the house. There's some minor things that can go wrong with those. But when it comes to air conditioning, there is so many things that need to be properly defined, installed, tweaked. Every system's different. So how do you as the homeowner know that it's right? Because the HVAC guy who installed it tells you it's right? No. I mean, think about it. If you mess something up, unless you're a very ethical person, which hopefully if you're listening to this, you're a pretty ethical person. Unless you're a really ethical person, you make a mistake. A lot of time we want to try to hide it, especially if the other person doesn't know how to figure it out. They'll never know. I've heard this all the time. You know, and what we're going to talk about today is not based on something that I've read in a book or, you know, heard through the grapevine. I've been in this industry for over 30 plus years. I've paid my dues. I've worked for many companies. I've worked with thousands of companies. You know, I've owned my own air conditioning company. I worked with people on a business consulting standpoint. But my greatest experience was when I worked with Trane and Carrier as a manufacturer's rep. I dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of HVAC contractors. And I was able to see in real time what they did. Not just a rumor. I actually saw. You know, we'd actually go out to houses because they would come to us as the manufacturer and say, hey, your equipment's got problems. And well, those companies, they trained us to be able to look at some of these things. Now, they had really high-level technicians that could diagnose and would go out and diagnose when it really, but we would go out, I mean, I would go out personally, and I would go out to see if there was just basic stuff that I could look at. Because 90% of the time, it was basic things that were causing the air conditioning systems not to work properly. You know, I remember one client that I went out to, the air handler was in the garage and it was sweating like crazy. And they were complaining that your equipment, there's something wrong with the equipment. So, you know, I happen to be in the area and I go out to the house and it's on a plywood stand in the garage, you know, about three and a half feet up off the floor, air handler sitting on the stand, the wooden stand. And then, you know, underneath is supposed to be open and there's a grill on the inside of the house and that's where the air would pull through the air handler and then it would, you know, blow it up into the attic where the ductwork was. So I'm looking at everything. I'm testing some things out. I did my best to try to educate myself at that point. This is back in the mid to early 2000s. And I'm like, okay, let's you know, make sure the filter's clean. So I pull the filter door off. And I shine my flashlight in there and I'm looking and I'm like, I'm getting this reflection back. I'm like, well, that's weird. I should see this empty void because the air handler is sitting on a plywood stand and there should be a big hole cut out. So when I look inside where the filter is, I should be able to look down inside this box and see an empty void and then see the return grill. So when I shine my flashlight in there, I see nothing. I just see this reflection coming back at me. And I look a little closer. The air conditioning company, or I should say the installers, forgot to cut the hole when they set the air handler on top of the plywood platform. They forgot to cut the hole to allow the return air to come through. And, you know, we laugh at it and go, how crazy, how stupid could they be? But you would be amazed at how many times we saw little things like this. So we're going to talk today about things that you can look at or make sure that your HVAC company does it. Or this is my recommendation. Yes, it's going to cost a little more, is that you have a third party come out and verify that the air conditioning system was installed properly. Because if I'm the HVAC guy who's installing, and you're telling me that, you know, I want to verify it's running correctly. Well, I'm going to, yeah, it's running great. I just installed it. Everything's perfect. You think I'm going to tell you that it's wrong? No. And again, from experience, many, many, many a time we've had other third-party companies, other HVAC companies, where there's even companies out there when it comes to airflow and whatnot, that's what they specialize in. So you would call them. There's companies down like West Palm Beach or anywhere in your area. Any state has them, I'm sure, where they will come out and confirm the airflow and the ductwork and things of that nature. So it's somebody third party has got no monetary investment in it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. And they're not making any extra money off of it being right or wrong. You've come out, you're asking them to confirm and verify. So, you know, one of the things to think about is every single home is different. Even if you set two houses, identical square foot, side by side, there's going to be something different. Every AC system is different. You could order two of the exact same air conditioning systems from the manufacturer, and those systems in some way, shape, or form are going to function slightly different. So those two houses with the identical air conditioning systems, you may need a different fan speed in one house versus the other because of where the air handler is installed or where the condenser is installed in relationship to the air handler. The refrigeration line may be different. And if that refrigeration line's different, that means it needs a different charge. If it needs a different charge, that could potentially mean it needs a different fan speed. The elevation, if they're side by side, obviously we're not going to have a different elevation. Outside temperature affects that, but if the houses are side by side, we're not going to have that. Location of the air handler or condenser, that's a big difference. Did you decide to put the air handler in the attic? And we're actually going to do a podcast on that because there's a lot of people out there that condemn putting air handlers in attics. And I guarantee you there's going to be people listening to this and go, no, I've never put an air handler in the attic. Well, there's a lot of pluses to putting the air handler or furnace in the attic versus putting it in the garage versus putting it in a closet inside the house. And we'll talk about those in the podcast up and coming. So whether you're replacing your air conditioning system or you're building a new house, there's a lot of little things that need to come into play. And the biggest one that has been brought to our attention, you know, throughout the years is the refrigeration lines. Now, the refrigeration lines, we're talking standard air conditioning or heat pump systems, are two copper lines. One is a smaller copper line, could be like 5/8 or 3/8 or stuff like that. And the other one is the thicker line. The thinner line is called the high pressure line. And the thicker line is called the suction line. And depending on whether it's an air conditioning or heating mode, you would have liquid refrigerant going through one versus a gaseous vapor going through the other. And those lines, so when we're replacing an air conditioning system, we're taking the old one out and we're putting a new one in. And what we're doing is we're cutting those lines with a proper tool. They have special tools to cut copper, not a hacksaw, not a, you know, a chainsaw. Just they have special tools to cut those. But what happens is when you do that, even the smallest amount of metal filings can get inside the refrigeration lines. When you open those lines, you have the outside elements, humidity, temperature, the dust and debris that's outside. Even if for a short period of time, it's going to get in those lines. And what happens? Some companies will tape it up on the end, or some companies will pinch it off and solder it so that it's sealed up tight. But even if that, at that point, if it's sealed, there has still been contaminants that have potentially gotten into those lines. So we take the old system out, we bring the new system in. Now, the new systems are sealed as well. And when you solder in the old refrigeration line into the lines of the unit, you then open up that refrigerant line from the condenser, and it releases all the refrigerant that's in the system, because the manufacturers typically put a little bit of refrigerant. Usually it's for up to 15 linear feet of refrigeration line. So they open that up, and then all that refrigerant pours in. And now Well, it's supposed to be a sealed system now. But remember, when we opened up all the older refrigeration lines, and this is even for new, when you're installing a new air conditioning system, brand new construction home, you're grabbing this big roll of refrigeration line, which comes in, 50 foot, 25 foot, 50 foot, 100 foot, and it's open. So it's been sitting around and it's got all this stuff in it. So then you roll it out and you run it up in the attic or down through the basement or wherever, and it's been open to the outside ambient. So a proper way is to make sure that you flush out those refrigeration lines. And there's a lot of technical things that the HVAC guy's talking to. Like, you have to put it on a vacuum pump and you want to get it down to below 500 microns and you want it to run, for a while. You want to keep it under that 500 microns. What you're doing is you're pulling the inside atmosphere in those refrigeration lines down to below atmospheric pressure so that if there's any moisture and whatnot, you actually boil that off. The problem is if there's any little filings and whatnot, they're not going away. So those refrigeration lines need to be blown out and then quickly sealed before they're put together so that you get all those filings out, you get any of those solids that are inside there. Well, a lot of air conditioning companies don't do that. I've seen them. I've seen lots of them. In fact, when I first started, the person who taught me did that. He'd cut them off, he put some tape on there, we'd bring the new system in, he'd plug it in, he wouldn't run any nitrogen to blow it out, he wouldn't put it on a vacuum pump for a long period of time. Up, it's down to 500, it's pulled off. But you got to give it time to boil those condensables off. So anyway, that is one of your first big things that goes wrong when HVAC companies are installing these. Now, the second biggest thing that people run into is not having the proper airflow, CFMs is what it's called, for the unit. So, at ProCalcs, when we design a system for a house, we look at the manufacturer specifications. And once we determine the size of the system and what's called manual S, which takes all of the conditions that the house is in, the elevation, the atmosphere, the humidity, the temperature and whatnot, we determine the exact CFMs that air handler, based on the manufacturer's ratings, should be set at. Now, we base that as well on the duct system that we are designing, because I can have the same air handler and set it to the same CFM ratings. And usually they're just little dip switches or little pins that tell the air handler, hey, I want you to be at medium speed, low speed, high speed, or whatnot. And the manufacturers have that set. So if I put it at high speed, maybe this motor is running at 1,000 CFMs. However, when I'm blowing that 1,000 CFMs into the duct system, if the duct system is not designed right and it has a very high, what's called static pressure, and if you've listened to one of the back podcasts, you'll hear me talk about that. It's just the internal pressure inside the duct system. And the smaller the duct system, typically the higher that pressure is based on the amount of air you're pushing through. So if I have a very high static pressure, it means a lot of restriction, I'm going to be pushing against that fan motor, and that fan motor is not going to be able to put out the same 1,000 CFMs. So the manufacturers know this, and they actually list this in their ratings. So they'll tell us that this air handler at a 0.6 static pressure is going to function at 900 CFMs. At 0.5, it functions at 1,000. But at 0.7, it may run at 800. And those differences make a huge difference, because if we need 1,000 CFMs and it's designed properly with the duct system, the way the duct system's designed, and it's not installed correctly, and the HVAC guy changed the duct design to do his own thing and didn't follow it, and the static pressure on that is 0.7, 0.8, 0.9, and it's designed at 1,000 CFM, that thing's going to put out less than 800 CFMs. And the issue is going to be you're not going to have a properly conditioned house. You're going to have hot spots. You're going to have cold spots. And then as well, the CFMs also dictate the proper charge, because the more air I push across the coil, the less air I push across the coil is going to change the state of the refrigerant differently. So that's going to require me, based on the CFMs and based not just on what the air handler is putting out, but what the duct system is allowing me, it's going to require me to have a different refrigerant charge. And again, a lot of air conditioning companies, 90% of them at least, don't know how to check the CFMs or don't check the CFMs to confirm what they are, to confirm that they have the proper charge in the system as well. Now, there are companies out there, and you could do like test and balancing is something you can put into Google, and you'll find some companies. There might even be an HVAC company locally. A lot of the companies are getting into things like that, that can actually come out and verify the CFMs coming out of the air handler, coming out of the grills. Because, you know, you may think that the right CFMs is coming out, but you may have so many leaks in your duct system that I have 1,000 CFMs coming out, but because of all the leaks that I have, I'm not getting 1,000 CFMs into my house. I'm getting 800 or 900. And again, that's a problem. Most of these air conditioning companies are not verifying the condition, whether it's brand new ductwork or existing ductwork. They're not confirming the tightness of the duct system to make sure that the airflow is coming out right. And that's something really easy to do. The HVAC company can actually buy this little blower and they seal up the duct system from below, like close off all the grills and whatnot. And you can actually force smoke into the duct system, go up in the attic, and you can see smoke coming out of all the little cracks and crevices if the ductwork's in the attic. And you'll be able to tell exactly where the leaks are. They can go up and seal them and help make sure that the heating or cooling or the air that's going through the duct system is getting to the other end as efficiently as possible. Now, you can also go into, like, you can go to our store, theprocalcstore.com. And we actually have a little manometer and some other little tools that you can use to check the airflow coming out of the different grills. I recommend, if you don't know how to do these things, I recommend that you find a company, a professional company, to come out and do this for you. So how do you know it's right? You know, you can ask the guy. Now, as far as the charge goes, the manufacturers typically have some charts and whatnot, but there's temperature ratings that need to be done. There's airflow ratings. There's a lot of little things that need to be accomplished to make sure that you're putting in the right amount of refrigerant. And, you know, they have things, depending on the type of expansion valves or metering devices, the types of metering devices and whatnot that they're using on the system. Nowadays, we either have regular expansion valves or electronic expansion valves, which regulate the amount of refrigerant that is going into the coil. And that really helps to make sure that it's done correctly. And there are some air conditioning systems now, some manufacturers are actually putting little lights and whatnot on them where the system itself actually knows when the charge is correct, and it'll tell you when to add or take out refrigerant. You know, to me, I think what that does is that takes away from the technicians really learning what they should be doing. You know, oh, the light says it's good, it must be good. Well, maybe the light's wrong. Maybe there's something else wrong. Well, if the light says it's bad, I'm going to add more refrigerant. I'm going to take more refrigerant out. It's not just doing, it's understanding the why behind it so that they can do it correctly. And these things we're talking about today, these are things that you should be questioning your HVAC company before they install your system to know that they're going to do the right job. I mean, just the horror stories I've seen and I've heard. I did a talk radio show for a while called Comfort Time Live in a small little AM radio station. And I had all kinds of people call in. And even on the side, they would email me and tell me the horror stories that they went through. And most of them were from HVAC companies that either didn't care, didn't know. And I have to defend some air conditioning companies out there. Is, you know, as an owner of a company, you're doing your best. You should be doing your best to teach, to pass down your knowledge, to help educate your people so that when they go out in the field to represent you, that they're doing the best they can. So not always because somebody misrepresents your company means that the company is bad. I've had people work for ProCalcs that we do everything we can to train. We train every single week. We've been doing it for over 8 years now. And there are some people on our teams that pick this up and they run with it and they add to their education. They do things, but there's some people that no matter what you do, they're still going to cause misrepresentation in your company. And you can't always put that against the company. You have to put it against the person, but a good culture will help to diminish that, but you're still going to have some bad apples out there. So how do you know that they're doing it correctly? Now, when you go to procalcs.net, we're going to put up, and it may take us a week or so to get it up there from this podcast. And maybe by the time this podcast airs, it might already be done. But we're going to put a form that we have that we put together for you. And we call it Equipment Diagnostic Form. And what this form has, there's one page at the top of it that when you're really trying to diagnose a system that's not functioning properly, when we're getting super technical, there's one of the pages on there that goes through every single section of the air conditioning system to check for the pressures, the temperatures, and using that, a good air conditioning company can look at that and tell what's wrong with the system just by taking these readings. Yet, you know, somebody could say, you could tell the HVAC company, well, this isn't working. And they could say, well, it's probably this. And you know what? Like a broken clock, they might be right twice a day. But the only way to truly know what a problem is to get the numbers, document the numbers to be able to determine if those numbers are higher or lower, and then based on that, what you need to do. That's the first page. Now, the second page of this document that you'll be able to get, Equipment Diagnostic Form, is where the bread and butter is. That's where, after the HVAC company installs it, that this document, page 2, can be filled out, and it will actually tell you what the capacity of the system is after it's been installed. Along with a lot of the other numbers, it'll tell you if you have a load calculation done or if you pull the equipment manufacturer's data and just about anything, any equipment you get, you can go on the internet and you would just Google product data. So whether it's Trane or Carrier, you know, you could put the model number in of the equipment that you've bought and put in that model number, product data, extended performance data. And it's right there on the internet. Yes, it's a technical read, but there are some things on there that when your HVAC company or your third-party company fills this document out, you can actually go in and verify, okay, well, the manufacturer says that at this static pressure, I should have this many CFMs on this air handler. Well, this company comes out, they fill this form out, and the CFMs are not even close. Well, now you know there's a problem. And there's a good chance that if the CFMs aren't right, when it tells you what the actual capacity, the BTU capacity of that system is, there's a good chance that the BTU capacity is not going to be right. It's going to be a lot lower. And we've had this. We had a house. It was an older house, and we did the design for. And now, again, the information that's provided, our designs are only as accurate as the information provided, okay? And most people, companies wouldn't be, unless we were an HVAC installation company, most people wouldn't be able to afford us to come out to the house to gather all the information to verify. And a lot of times, because the houses are closed up, the walls are closed up, some of it's guesswork anyway. But the key is that we gathered the information, we did the loads, and they went out and did the installation. It didn't work. There was all kinds of problems. So the client came back to us and said, hey, Tom, you know, you think you undersized this? I'm like, well, based on the information we were given, no. We double-checked, we triple-checked. So I made some recommendations for them to go out and check some things. Well, they forced the people to go back out there and check it. And they found out that there was this 10-inch outside air duct that was left wide open. They found out that they had two condensers for this house. And both of the condensers were right next to each other. And when I mean right next, they were less than 12 inches next to each other. All right, now here's the problem. The sides of the condensers outside are pulling air in. Outside air, they're taking the outside air, they're pulling it in to take the heat out of the refrigerant and blow it out. Well, these units were so close together, they were actually robbing air from each other and caused a loss of efficiency. That was one of the others. Number two, the third biggest thing was the refrigeration lines were so long. And there's actually a document for every manufacturer that says it's called a long line calculation, which will determine from the manufacturer, based on how long the refrigeration line is, what the capacity loss on the system will be. These lines were over 200 feet and nobody said anything. So this 4-ton unit that was in this complex that was designed, came to find out this thing was barely running at 2-ton capacity. So of course it wasn't working. But if the air conditioning company had done their due diligence instead of just going out, throwing something in and walking away, these things would have been caught. So my recommendation is, you know, looking at all these things, improper charge, improper airflow, locations of the air handlers and condensers, the combination, are they using the right combination? Because if you have an older air handler and an older condenser and you're trying to save a few bucks and say, well, let's leave the air handler because it looks okay. Let's just pull the condenser out and put some other condenser in. You're not going to get the SEER rating. You're not going to get the airflow that you should properly have. It's not going to function. So you're going to spend money on this 16 SEER condenser and partner it up with an air handler that's not even a properly combined system and think that you did good. No, take that 16 SEER and throw it out the window. You're lucky if you're going to get 13 or 14 and you're not going to get the BTU capacity. Yes, I know money's tight and if the air handler looks in fairly good condition, but if you do that, you should still try to see what the manufacturer of that air handler has that could be as close as possible to the proper combination that they have today. So procalcs.net, and we'll put some links in this podcast to where you can find this diagnostic form. And I think there's a small fee for you to get that. But you can also, if you want to email tom@procalcs.net, the team there can help you if we don't have it up on the website by then. And we may even be able to have it at theprocalcstore.com, but most likely it'll be on procalcs.net that you'll find that. So the installing HVAC contractor, very seldom are they going to admit to their own mistakes. So that's why I recommend that you invest in a third-party company to come out, verify these things. Verify that the thermostat wires were installed correctly. Because, you know, if it's a brand new house, many, many, many a times we've seen where they're running these thermostat wires and they're using these little staple guns. And they staple right into the wire and it causes a problem. Then you might have temporary issues with your thermostat or it doesn't work. And they may not see it when they leave. And it happens at one point in time. Maybe there's a power fluctuation or whatnot. And there's an easy way to check continuity test and whatnot. So there's a lot of little things that could be done. But you really need to make sure that you're having this stuff checked. The diagnostic form is going to help you at a higher level. But the basics, you know, ask them, hey, show me what the CFMs on this air handler should be and show me what they are. Show me what the refrigerant charge should be and what it is. You know, when they're outside installing it, hey, are you putting this on a vacuum pump? Are you going to put it down to 500 microns and leave it? They like to leave it 24 hours, but most people aren't going to do that. You know, they'll put it on the vacuum pump. They'll go to lunch. They'll come back. They'll take it off the vacuum pump. And a lot of times that's not enough. And I know this because when I work for Trane, Trane had a, and they have it too. It's like the version two. They had a compressor, and you can Google this, called Snowball. And it was a compressor that came back from the field that was warranted as being faulty. And they took this compressor and they found nothing wrong with it. That compressor, and they called it Snowball because the way they ran it basically completely covered in ice. And it ran for so many years. But the point of this was these air conditioning contractors are a lot of part changers out there. They're just pulling stuff out. And that compressor could have potentially had an issue. One, maybe because the refrigeration line wasn't filtered out. Well, now that they cut it out and brought it back to the manufacturer cleaned everything out. And maybe that contaminant was in there, there was not a problem, or maybe there was nothing wrong with it. But the only way you can verify that something is installed right is to have a checklist that goes back to check every one of the items. Is my power coming in and out proper using a voltmeter, an ammeter? Do I have the right things? Are my switches turning on and turning off as they should? Is my thermostat installed correctly? So many times we would get people that would get heat pumps and the air conditioning company would have absolutely no clue how to install the heat pump thermostat, and they would get confused and they would wire it wrong and there would be nothing but problems. So ask them, just ask them the questions. And if they can't come back to you with a logical response, you need to boot them to the curb. Or, you know, if they're already too far along, just let them finish up and get another company in there and document it, video document it, written documentation. And if there's something wrong, you can go back to the air conditioning company that installed it and hold them accountable. And hopefully they're an upstanding company that steps up and goes, yeah, hey, you know what? You're right. That is wrong. And, you know, sometimes you're going to get that adversity where, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. And that's why you got to get in documentation. You got to get the manufacturer's documents and manuals and whatnot to confirm, hey, you know, no, this other company said that this is supposed to be running at this. The manufacturer's data said it's supposed to be running at that. And the system you installed is only running at this. And, you know, if you don't like to get into this technical stuff, hey, that's not a problem. Hire that third-party company, pay a couple $100 for them to come out. And that's probably all it will cost, just a service call, and let them come out and look at everything and verify that it was done correctly. And you may trust your air conditioning company, but if the guy who installed it didn't know what he was doing and installed it correctly, do you think he's going to have the knowledge to be able to confirm that he installed it correctly? No. So get that done. And 95% of the companies out there have no idea how to complete this document. So make sure whoever you bring on board as a third-party company, or if you're going to trust your company who installed it, make sure that when you show this to them, ask them right there in front of them, show me how you would fill this out. Where would you get this number from? And if all you hear is sputtering and hesitation, you know they're not the right company. And you're probably going to find that with about 95% of the people you talk to. You know, we send this form to some of our clients and they look at this and like, I don't know how to fill it out. And they're HVAC companies. And, you know, there's typically going to be a service manager who probably has the knowledge to fill it out. And most likely the basic either installing tech or the preventative maintenance tech is not going to have an idea how to fill this out. And you would be surprised. Even some of the high-level service technicians don't know how to fill it out. So that's my recommendation. And these are some of the things to confirm. How do you know your HVAC company installed your system correctly? Don't forget to go to procalcs.net. There's a nice book that I published on there that talks a lot about these things. You don't know what you don't know, HVAC. And you can go on procalcs.net right there on our page and you get the ebook version. You can go to the ProCalc store and get the paperback version. And the ProCalc store, we have a lot of little things. We have temperature and humidity sensors. We have filters and things on there that help with what we're talking about in the podcast and our YouTube videos, help you to go in and find these things. If you like to, you know, do home improvement things of your own, there's some cool little things in there that would help you out. Smoke sticks to determine if your house is leaking or whatnot. And then we're going to go ahead and post the diagnostic form for you. But again, if you don't see the diagnostic form on procalcs.net, you can go ahead and just email us at tom@procalcs.net. And one of the girls will be happy to find it for you and get you all hooked up. Have a blessed day. Thank you again for listening to ProCalcs University Podcast. And we'll see you soon.